This is Bruin Radio, a weekly student show from Brookings Harbor High School on the Wild Rivers Coast. By tuning into our show, you're getting the latest news, interviews, music, poetry, and more from the outstanding Bruins of Brookings Harbor High School. We are happy to broadcast on KCIWLP in Brookings, Oregon on 100.7 FM.
This is Bruin News with Peter Parker and
McLean Westbrook and
Gage Westbrook and
Dane Titman.
Abby Farmer organized an excellent fundraiser for the Dornbecker's Children's Hospital. Candy canes were sold at 25 cents each, and all proceeds will be donated directly to the Children's Hospital, which is associated with the Oregon Health and Science University in Portland, Oregon. All told, $97.64 were raised. Great work, Abby Farmer and her team. And thank you to the Bruins who donated in exchange for the candy.
The high school hosted a school-wide assembly last Friday, where students watched holiday-themed games and listened to trap remixes of classic holiday music. Students and staff also gathered together donations of canned and prepackaged food. All told, about 70 food items were gathered for donation.
Many of you may also be pleased to know that Bruin Radio was featured in a Curry Coastal Pilot article written by a new friend of the show, Boyd Allen.
The article can be found in the Wednesday, December 13th, 2017 edition of The Pilot, in the Coastal Living section. You can also find the article online under the title, High School Students Get Hands-On Radio Experience. If you have access to the paper or the internet, which you won't after net neutrality was repealed, check out the article and get the inside scoop on Bruin Radio.
Teachers and administration have selected the December Bruin Pride Students of the Month. They are Cassie Rios, Ethan Hooper, Toner Neros, and Abby Farmer. Students of the Month get exclusive t-shirts and a pizza lunch from Zola's Pizzeria in Harbor. Congratulations, students. Listeners, by the time this episode airs exclusively on KCIW, the Brookings Harbor School District's winter break will have begun. Students and most of the staff members are out of the building until the 2nd of January, 2018. Yes, 2017 is very nearly over. The only staff who will be in the building include some administration and office staff, and information technology employees. The district's doors will most likely be locked to visitors from the outside, so if you need to contact someone at the school, try to reach our district office first to be put in touch with whoever you need to talk to. Remember, too, that many staff emails can be found on our school district website.
Do you know what else can be found on the school district website? Why, a complete archive of all Bruin Radio and Bruin News episodes. That's right! Every single episode, all the way back to episode 1 of Bruin News with Patrick Fulton and Fernando Lira, can be listened to, along with every episode of partner podcast Heroes Don't Take Water Breaks. Back when Bruin Radio first started, our show was a mere 2 to 3 minutes in length, and we aired on KCRE and K-Pod out of Crescent City. We're proud of how far we've come, and how much content we produce each week. Thank you for tuning in to Bruin Radio and supporting our content.
This is Peter Parker, and today we're going to be reviewing the movie Justice League. Well, I guess I'm kind of partial to my publishers over DC, but I do have to warn you, there will be spoilers ahead, spoilers ahead, spoilers ahead. Let's just start out with the elephant in the room. Look at Superman here. Superman just, at the end of the last movie, was banging on the coffin. And then, yet, when they bring him back to life, he's totally dead. That doesn't exactly make sense. What were you thinking?
That's actually a good point. Why would they have the whole dirt rising on Superman's coffin in his grave?
They made it so dramatic, and then suddenly, wait, he's totally dead, but they're gonna raise him by throwing him in a pit of molten pee?
More importantly, what did Superman do when he was dead? And second of all, I'd like to talk about the association between Superman and Christ. Let's be honest, the whole Superman's Jesus thing comes down from into Earth, is not a human, gets killed, rises in the third movie. I'm just saying I have concerns.
Very much. Okay, and then look at the graphics of this movie. I mean, a movie like this must have a huge budget. But when I'm looking at the graphics, they look like graphics I'd see at 60 FPS on an Xbox 360. They didn't look like amazing 4K CGI generated graphics. Like, the spears and arrows and all of those didn't look like they were actually, like, CGI'd in. They looked like they were individually moving objects without predetermined courses, like a video game would define them, instead of actual movie-quality stuff.
As for the fundamental elements of the film, I thought there was a strong lack of character development. It seems DC is trying to rush out their movies at such a frantic pace to catch up with Marvel. However, what they make up for in quantity, the little quantity they have, they lose in quality.
Okay, and then look at what they were trying to do here. I mean, obviously they're trying to copy some of what Marvel does. Now, I'm not going to say who came out with their ideas first, but just coming out with this movie right before Marvel's Infinity War, come on, you have Mother Boxes, not Infinity Stones, and there's three of them instead of six, but hey, if we just get Cyborg, a brand new character who nobody has ever referenced in another movie, to peel him apart because he's made out of a piece of them. That's totally not Vision, right? Who has an Infinity Stone, like, embedded in his head. I'm just confused that they tried to pump this out so much ahead of Infinity War, but I think they should have spent a lot more time and budget on their graphics and character development and all of that. Anything else you guys want
to
say?
I'd just like to say that Superman would be able to beat Batman in a fight without even trying.
Yeah.
Kryptonite doesn't count. I could beat Superman with Kryptonite. It's Batman versus Superman, not Batman versus Kryptonite. Batman doesn't kill people, Kryptonite kills people.
All right, folks. I still recommend that you guys go and see this movie if you're looking just to have a fun time or go on a date, because, let's face it, if you're on a date, you shouldn't be focused on the movie at all.
Oh!
Seniors! By the time you're hearing this episode, the discount deadline has passed for the purchase of your graduation cap and gown. These garments must now be bought at full price. The company that the cap and gown are purchased from is the Herff Jones Company. Herff Jones is a for-profit American company that specializes in education-related products, such as graduation gowns, award certificates, and yearbook creation software. Interestingly, the LifeTouch company, which many of you may recognize as the company that takes most of the school photos, absorbed the Herff Jones Company photography division in 2011. The world of business appears to be a small one sometimes. Bruin Radio was unable to find much hard data on the Herff Jones Company's philanthropy. We can see that they offered at least 50 scholarships to students nationwide in 2016 as part of their Herff Jones Believe in You motivation program. The company lists sustainability efforts as it relates to their manufacture and sale of caps and gowns, diploma frames, and rings. The company also partners with the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, a nonprofit medical corporation. It's not too early to recognize that Martin Luther King Jr. Day is coming up on January 15th. That is a no-student, no-staff federal holiday marking the birthday of civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. Some calendars mistakenly list the day as Martin Luther King Day. Make sure you don't miss the junior part when officially writing about this holiday.
This is Bridget Mitchell with the Bruin News with Ben Cannon, Crystal Chenoweth, and then Beth Beasley. And they are part of the Curry Health community. Crystal is the SBHC coordinator. Beth is the prevention coordinator. Ben Cannon is the public health administrator. So first, I want to start with Crystal on the job question. How would someone get into your job?
Into my job?
Yes.
I don't know if there's really a set way to get into it. I do mostly reception work. That's my personal bread and butter. But I also do a lot of coordinating with the state, the Oregon Health Authority, to make sure that we remain certified with the state of Oregon as a school-based health center. So I'm not really sure how to answer that.
What would you tell someone if they wanted to get into your bread and butter, Ty?
I would say to just go for it. It's not always an easy job. There's a lot of communication with the public. in, you know, the first person they see when they walk in, the first person they ask questions to. If they call, it's me that they're talking to. But really just, if it's something that people think they're interested in, they can come in and talk. We might be able to work with them and help them, like with resumes and kind of what kind of skills to present to kind of get in the same field.
What kind of skills would you have them present?
Definitely communication. You have to be able to talk to a wide variety of people. Not everybody has the same level of education or understanding, so you have to be able to present information in a way that a little 5-year-old can understand, or an 86-year-old, or, you know, somebody with a PhD, somebody with no education. So yeah. You have to really be able to work your vocabulary and make the information readily available to anybody who asks, and understand that what I say to you isn't necessarily something you might understand the same way I understand it.
Yeah.
Just because we have different experiences and different languages, and that leads to a different understanding.
Yeah. Would knowing Spanish help?
It definitely helps. We do have a community of Spanish-speaking individuals, so that definitely does help, just to serve the right community or other members of the community. And we do have tools available if people do speak Spanish. All of our forms come in duplicate English and Spanish. And I'm sure if somebody spoke Russian or, you know, Yugoslavian or Japanese or whatever, we could probably find those forms in their languages that they're comfortable with.
So, Ben, could you tell our viewers what you do how it's done?
Yeah. So, as a public health administrator, I work in kind of a variety of different capacities to address the health of the residents here in Curry County. We have kind of a variety of services that we offer, from kind of all the way from prevention, which is where Beth works, in kind of prevention education, helping people understand how to better address their health needs, all the way to environmental health, immunizations, and providing kind of service level, you know, services that you would normally go to see a doctor, you know, those types of services. So I work in coordinating all of that and ensuring that we're following all the laws when it comes to health. There's a lot of federal and state and local laws that we have to follow to ensure that we're keeping people safe. I mean, I think that at the end of the day, that's really what we do, is we're ensuring that people have the opportunity to be healthy and providing the best environment for that.
Yeah. So what would you say to, like, someone my age that would like to get into your profession?
College is a pretty important piece of that. So going to college, there's a lot of different kind of paths you can take to get into health work. I mean, there's a variety of things that you can do with a health degree. My degree is in public health specifically. And that focuses, like I said, more on population health, kind of addressing the health of the whole population, instead of, you know, you go see a doctor and you get individual health and they kind of treat you. But on a population scale, we're looking at statistics and trying to address some of the broader health issues. So, going to college, studying public health, health sciences, that type of thing is kind of the normal pathway that people take.
Mm-hmm. Public health must be a lot of fun.
It is, yeah. There's a lot of variety, and I think I thrive in that kind of environment where there's a lot of variety to what we do. It's not just the same thing over and over.
Mm-hmm. Right, so, Beth, would you like to explain to our viewers what you do and how it's done?
Sure. In prevention, I promote awareness to people all ages for prevention. So maybe preventing addiction, or making sure that people are aware of availability of immunizations or the importance of them, we work a lot in the schools to promote prevention, you know, drugs, alcohol, healthy relationships, helping them understand that the school-based health center is there for them and their services are that they can receive easily. So it's just working with the people in the community.
That's wonderful. What would you say to a minor that would like to get into your profession?
Well, like Ben mentioned, college is important. There's different avenues that you can take in education that can get you into a position like this. But it's good to know your community and your area and what it needs and, you know, what it's lacking and what's important for that area, because every community is different. So it helps to know your area.
Yeah. And you can't be afraid of public speaking.
Oh, right. Yes. Communication is key. Yes.
And even if you are, it's okay. It's a skill you can learn, right? I mean, it's something you can master and get better at.
Yeah. It's always easy to stand up there and talk to, like, your friends and stuff.
Sure.
It's harder when you're, like, standing in front of a crowd of people.
Gosh.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
So one of the questions that I have for you today is, what's your favorite part about having a clinic on school grounds?
Easy access. Kids are walking by and they've got a cough and they see the sign and they're like, oh, I should actually go in and make sure I'm, you know, healthy and safe. So it's definitely nice to be right here for students. We also work with the schools with absences and stuff. So, you know, if you go to the doctor, then you may be marked absent, but coming to the health center, we're working with the school so that you don't get that that little check mark that says you were gone or you missed whatever class that you had to miss to be seen.
Yeah. That's cool. What about you guys? Do you guys have any...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty big piece of why we like being here. It's just that easy access. It's good for the students. It's good for us because we're able to provide that opportunity for people. And we like hanging out. It's fun to be here. It's fun to be around you guys.
Sure hope so, I mean.
Yeah.
All right.
I gotta say, I think the kids are so much cooler than the adults. I've worked in other receptionist places and, you know, kids, you guys are all so polite. You come in and you're like, please and thank you. And some of you are a little bit nervous about what you're asking. You may not understand what you're really looking for when you first come in. But everybody here has been so, like, polite and upbeat. And it's really kind of awesome working with everybody in school.
It's really nice of you to say. I always thought that we were all, like, really rude.
But only to each other.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot more sense. Are you guys, like, a free clinic, or do you have, like, a type of insurance that you guys take, or do you have us, like, kind of pay for your service?
So it's it really depends on what your kind of insurance status is, but we accept all insurances that people would have. If you're on OHP or Medicaid, then it's your services are all covered at our clinic. And you know, if you have insurance, usually there's like a small fee you pay every time you come in. You know, $10, $30, or something like that. And then the services are covered by your insurance. So it can be totally covered, you know, depending on your insurance. And then there could be small fees, but it's very affordable and accessible for everybody.
There are also some programs that are available to help if somebody doesn't have insurance, can't afford their copay, or maybe they're confidential, then there's services available for them.
It's wonderful.
We try and work with everybody, and we don't want to turn anybody away. We want to try and see everybody and help them to the best of our ability.
That's really wonderful, you guys. I'm just so happy that this is here because of that. So, do you guys help with, like, mental health type stuff?
We do. We have one school-based health center mental health therapist. She goes to all of the schools. So she goes to Calmeopsis and Azalea, and then she has office hours here at the school-based center. She sees just about everybody, like all the kids, all ages, like little bitty to 21, I think, is her top age limit. And if a kid is in like Calmeopsis or Azalea, she goes over to the school to see them whenever is best for that student and for the school. So if she goes over and she says, oh, I'm going to see, you know, little John Doe at 8 o'clock on Thursday morning, but maybe he has a test, then she will reschedule it and we work with the school and the student to find a time that's going to interrupt class as little as possible.
So awesome. Trying to get our education and our health.
It's important for it all to work together.
Yeah.
I spoke with our behavioral health director, and soon we're going to be having another counselor who will be helping out with the schools as well. So we'll have two counselors.
Ooh, we're getting fancy.
Awesome. Yeah, we're getting all fancy in here. That's really awesome. So what kind of services do you guys provide?
We provide just about everything. We just talked a little bit about the mental health services. I want to also mention that Lauren, our mental health therapist, she can help with anything from depression to bullying, just a wide range of anything. If anybody is just a little lost feeling or unsure, she can help kind of figure out and develop a plan to move forward and get stuff figured out. Mental health kind of has this negative stigma where you go and you're crazy if you go see a therapist. That's not true. Yeah. And so, you know, if anybody who's just kind of not sure if they even want to see somebody, then we can do an assessment. Yeah. Just, you know, we're like the guidance counselors, only, I don't know,
beefier,
I guess.
Well, someone safe to talk to, and yeah, safe to go to.
Yeah. On the medical side, we do well child exams, which are the yearly physical exams that kids are supposed to be getting. We do sports physicals, which are required every 2 years if you participate in sports. I mentioned earlier that if you're just not feeling good, we can do like strep tests, and we can prescribe medications if it's necessary. We also do immunizations. So if you want, like, the flu, flu season's here. So, yes, you know, we have that stuff. Come on in. and just about anything that a normal clinic would have, we can provide. Or we can refer you to somebody and figure out how to get you those services.
Really? If there's ever any question, just come on by and we can answer it or point you in the right direction. Like I said, if we can't do it, then we can provide referrals as well.
Do you guys do like male and women hygiene type stuff too?
Hygiene?
Yeah, like...
Can you define that?
Like education or...
Well, you can also take that to the education course. I mean, like, if someone were to have like a bladder infection type thing or like a, like, just... totally prone to doing stuff like that, and
If somebody is concerned about a bladder infection or a urinary infection, we can have you pee in a cup, and then that's all it is.
Yeah, do a test, and we help.
Can help, and if there's any medications that have to be prescribed, antibiotics to get that taken care of, then we can do that.
So we have a nurse practitioner who comes on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, essentially a doctor who's there, who's here on the school grounds Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Any of those kind of visits we can take care of.
Okay.
And the same kind of thing applies if you're just not sure about something physically. You can come in and we can get you in with our nurse practitioner and she can talk you through it and figure out what the best course of action is, even if it's something that you're just not quite sure about. Something just weird or doesn't feel quite right, we can help get it sorted out.
Yeah. All right, so where do you guys get your funding?
So our funding, we contract with Curry County to provide public health and mental health services for the entire county. And that funding comes from the Oregon Health Authority. So it's all state funding that we receive. That Oregon Health Authority is kind of the state department over health in the state. So that's where we're funded.
And school-based health centers are considered a part of public health.
Yep.
Because we're reaching out to the public and to the kids and stuff like that.
Who is on the board of directors?
Do you want to read that off?
Sure.
You've been quiet.
Our board of directors, we have Jay Trost. He's the chair, and he's with the Curry Juvenile Department. We have Ed Conyers. He's the treasurer. Ed Cook is a member. Everett Dial, John Spicer, and Court Boyce, who is the county commissioner, and that makes up our board of directors. The Curry Community Health.
Nice. And they're okay with being aired, right?
Yeah.
It's part of the board member
meeting. Yeah, that's all public information. It's on our website and everything, so.
Okay, good. What is your mission statement?
The Curry Community Health mission statement is support and promote the health and well-being of the community. So it kind of does encompass everything. Because we used to be the Curry County Health Department. Now we are privatized. Is that even right?
Yeah, we contract with Curry County to provide the public health services in Curry County. So, yeah, just as Crystal said, we support and promote health and well-being in the community. And I know it's kind of a pretty broad topic, but our activities are pretty broad in what we do. You know, working in the school, having mental health, behavioral health counseling, addictions, environmental health. So we do all the inspections for restaurants, hotels, water systems. We do immunizations. So we have a pretty broad spectrum of what we do.
And that is, lunchtime is over. That was the Community Health Center and all these lovely people in here. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Crystal. Thank you, Beth, for coming in and talking with us and educating our viewers.
Thank you for having us.
To have you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you guys have a really great day.
Thank you. We almost got through all the questions.
Almost.
And that's it for this week's Bruin News.
You've just heard Bruin Radio, a half-hour student-focused program brought to you by the students and staff of the Brookings Harbor High School, in partnership with Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW. Content for this program is provided by the Brookings Harbor High School. To view the credits for this episode, visit kciw.org/credits.
Whoa, what's that sound?
That's the sound of volunteer power. It's what keeps KCIW running free and wild on our Wild Rivers coast.
Well, what fuels volunteer power? Is it nuclear? Coal?
Why, it's goodwill and an amazing community of people. Without folks like you getting involved at KCIW, we would be powerless.
You mean I can power KCIW?
You bet you can! We're looking for volunteers of all kinds. Check out our website at www.kciw.org to find out how you can get involved and become Volunteer Power!